Good morning. I'm Nancy Williams with Petals and Prose. Utah Public Radio lost a dear friend this summer when Will Pitkin died. Will was many things, among them a retired professor of English, a pillar of the Cache Valley Gardener's Market, consummate backyard vegetable gardener who was justly famous for his tomatoes and garlic, a dedicated chicken farmer, and an addicted Scrabble player who more often than not beat the pants off his partners, including me. Many people have shared memories and stories about Will. His Facebook page is overflowing with funny tales and tributes, and hundreds of his friends showed up at a celebration of life held August 25th in Bill and Carol Strong's shady green backyard on the Logan River. If you can judge a man by the quality of the people who turn out to tell him goodbye, then you were a pretty great person, Will, wrote his friend Charles Cuthbertson about the farewell party. His friend Dan Bam said Will was a gentle, kind soul, at home in the classroom teaching at USU and in the garden with his chickens and garlic. Even if we only knew him a short while, he had a profound influence on Alicia and me. His friend Becky Stauffer wrote, "I won't be able to attend the memorial for Will, but I found this poem he sent me a few years ago when we had been chatting about the solstice during a Scrabble game. I thought Will's friends and family might enjoy this." I agree. This poem contains very much essence of Will. Here are his words. Winter Solstice. More than 2 hours ago, I opened the door to the hen house and spread across the space I'd cleared of snow. Yesterday's lettuce from Lee's Market and yesterday's bread soaked in hot water from Crumb Brothers Bakery. Now along the mountain ridge, the southmost sun edges above the solstice notch, and framed by the radiant icicles barring my kitchen window, the hens now peck in sunlight at the frozen leaves and scratch the scattered loaves, no longer steaming. 2 below 0, the reading says. The hens move about on bare feet, surely miserable. One in molt must certainly have thoughts of doom, fluff showing that should be hidden, trapping warmth and layered over with full feathers. She stands on 1 foot, the other drawn beneath her ragged wing. She has no thoughts of doom, of anything. I worry for her. She does not worry for herself. I know that she, that they, are miserable. She, they, do not. We tell stories, make movies about elephants and penguins and fish, and their moments of joy, of abject terror, of hope, of hopeless misery. Elephants and penguins and fish do not tell these stories, nor understand them, however slowly we spin them out. As I mumble my solace, my miserable hens stand mindless on frozen ground, pecking their food, mindless that tomorrow will have minutes more sunlight. Mindless of tomorrow, or that July will offer misery of its own. Only a few thousand years ago, on this very day, no calendar had yet named, a family, a tribe huddled for warmth, awaiting the southmost sunrise. When the curved edge appears, a thin beam of harvested sunlight strikes a rock face, exactly where they have dreamed, have prayed it would. A murmur of relief, cause enough for cautious hope. What they witness this day brings comfort. They will know more tomorrow. Will's son, Joe Pitkin, wrote one of the world's greatest obituaries for his father. Would that we all could live so that our children would write such a wonderful farewell for us. It's worth sharing, and I want to end today by reading it to you. Willis Lloyd Pitkin, Jr., the son of Willis L. and Dorothy Schuler Pitkin, died July 21, 2013. He did not expect to meet Heavenly Father, but if such a meeting occurred, Willis was likely the less flabbergasted of the two. Will was born February 20, 1936, and lived until 1969 in California. He was married 3 times. To Mary Frederica Callaghan, who gave him a stepdaughter, Regan, and 2 sons, David and Paul, to Sandra Sanderson, who gave him a son, Joe, and two daughters, Sarah and Clarity, and to Terry Haynes Buschetti, who gave him four stepsons, Rock, Brian, Tim, and Russ. Thorough and conscientious training from his first two wives prepared him for a wonderful third marriage. He lived to mourn the loss of Brian, Dave, and Regan's first daughter, Mary Helen. Will received his bachelor's degree in English from the University of Southern California in 1958, promptly began graduate school, and received his doctorate from the same university in 1973. When he finally applied for graduation, the dean of the USC Graduate School emerged from his office to congratulate Will as the student who had made the slowest progress towards a doctorate that he had ever encountered. During his graduate studies and for many years afterward, Will worked as a teacher of college English, most of these years, and the best of them, at Utah State University. He helped and inspired and loved thousands of students who remember him for his wit, his generosity, his deep knowledge, and his disdain for academic fashions. He was likelier to wear a t-shirt and shorts to class than a coat and tie. He preferred always to be called Will rather than Dr. Pitkin. He wrote a textbook on writing called Generating Prose, a book considered unfashionable almost as soon as he'd finished it, but it was no less a good book for that. Like his father, Will was a lifelong gardener. He kept many dozens of chickens, cultivated hundreds of heirloom varieties of tomatoes and squash and garlic and strawberries, spared thousands of tomato hornworms. Over his life, he gave away great piles of fruit and vegetables to friends, colleagues, his children, neighbors, strangers, visiting home teachers, and anyone who looked like he would be cheered up by a handful of fresh tomatoes. Also like his father, he was deeply troubled by any kind of waste. It pained him to see people treat as garbage anything which could be spread on his garden as fertilizer. In broad daylight, and sometimes by night, Will took the grass clippings that neighbors had left at the curb for garbage pickup. The whole community had contributed to his compost heap. It was harder still for him to watch someone throw into the trash anything which might be eaten by one of his beloved animals, including his most beloved animal, Homo sapiens. He regarded the expiration dates on food packaging as quaint advisories which he might, at his discretion, disregard. He spoke slowly but tirelessly. He wrote hundreds of letters to the editor of the Herald Journal. At least it seemed that many. Letters shining a light wherever he saw thoughtlessness or hypocrisy or self-righteousness. Nonconformists, gay people, misfits, and anyone who felt friendless in the Cache Valley knew from his letters that they had a friend in Will. Years of linguistic training and a natural talent for goofing off made him into a formidable Scrabble player. He impressed hundreds of opponents with his ability to make one word into another, to dredge up long-forgotten words, and to concoct plausible-sounding terms that no one at the table dared challenge. Language was, for him, a source of joy and mystery and beauty, and people who spoke with him or read a note from him or played a game with him came away feeling as though language was richer than they had realized. He is at peace now, survived by his wife, Terry, daughters Regan Pitkin Butler, Sarah Sanderson Pitkin, and Clarity Sanderson Jonker. Sons Paul, Joe, Rock, Tim, and Russ. 15 grandchildren and one great-grandson. We miss him. As Terry said, "Thanks for being best friends to my good husband for all these years. Won't we miss him?" Yes. Oh, yes. So very much. I'm Nancy Williams with Petals and Prose. Until next time.